Our next presenter is Dr. Rosemary Johann Liang, who will be presenting on updating the vaccine injury table based on the Institute of Medicine's report on the adverse effects of vaccines. And Dr. Johann Liang is the Chief Medical Officer and Deputy Director of the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is administered out of the Health Resources and Services Administration, or HRSA. Previous to this role, she served as the Deputy Director of the Division of Drug Risk Evaluation at the Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology in CDER at FDA. Dr. Johann Liang is the Project Officer for the HRSA and ISO CDC's contract with the National Academy of Sciences, which resulted in the Institute of Medicine's report on the review of adverse effects of vaccines. She will be discussing what the IOM committee reviewed and concluded and how this translates into updating the vaccine injury table. Dr. Johann Liang.
Thank you so much. So I will be discussing the story behind the most recent Institute of Medicine's report on adverse effects of vaccines. The pre-publication release was in late August of 2011, and we're actually expecting the final submission of the project deliverable, that is the hard copy, final publication any day now, the end of this month. I'll be walking through the steps of where we are in regards to updating the vaccine injury table with the report at hand, and I'll follow the outline shown in slide 2. Again, the purpose of our contract with the National Academy of Sciences was to review the current medical and scientific evidence on vaccines and adverse events in order to update the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program's vaccine injury table and the qualifications and AIDS interpretation, thus providing the scientific basis for future review and adjudication of VICP claims. Congress created the original VIT, which I will simply refer to as the table for the remainder of the talk, in 1986 as a compromise mechanism allowing a legal presumption of causation for certain vaccines and conditions. Due to uncertainties over what injuries are vaccine-related, Congress called for IOM reviews of the scientific and medical literature on vaccine adverse events, and for the Secretary of the Health and Human Services to modify the table once these findings were made available. Previous IOM reports on vaccines and adverse events in 1991 and 1994 led to rulemaking changes to the table in 95 and 97. Since the last revision to the table in 97, there have been 9 vaccines added to the program without any expert reviews or independent examination of AEs associated with the use of these vaccines. This is a slide of the vaccines that are currently covered in our vaccine injury compensation program. Vaccines covered are listed in the table. The left of the slide 4 lists the program's cover vaccines at the time of the last IOM-based revisions to the table in 97. The right of the slide lists the 9 vaccines which have been added to the table since the last IOM review. As we discuss updating the table based on the 2011 IOM report, it is important to briefly review with you how a petitioner receives compensation under the table. To qualify as a table injury, petitioners must demonstrate that he or she received the vaccine set forth in the table, sustained or has significantly aggravated any illness, disability, injury, or condition set forth in the table in association with the vaccine received, and first symptom or manifestations of the onset or the significant aggravation of any such illness, disability, injury, or condition occurred within the time period after vaccine administration set forth in the table. In addition, the petitioner must show residual effects as follows: suffer residual effects or complications of vaccine-related injury for more than 6 months after vaccine administration, otherwise known as the 6-month requirement, or die from administration of the vaccine, or received inpatient hospitalization and surgery as a result of vaccine-related injury. Claims qualifying as table claims can receive compensation under the presumption of causation standard. However, claims which do not satisfy the table criteria can also receive compensation as off-table claims or causation in fact, if they are able to demonstrate by the preponderance of evidence, which is a legal standard, that injury resulted from vaccination. Also, when proposing revisions to the table, DICP's advisory group, the Advisory Commission on Childhood Vaccines, or ACCV, gave their perspective of revisions to the table. In 2006, the ACCV developed guiding principles for recommending revisions to the table. The table should be scientifically and medically credible. Where there is credible scientific and medical evidence both to support and to reject a proposed change to the table, the change should, whenever possible, be made to the benefit of petitioners. ACCV listed what is scientifically and medically credible in order of relative strength of evidence, ranging from randomized controlled clinical trial findings to individual case reports. The Secretary should remain aware of policy considerations underlying the table. Awards to vaccine-injured persons are to be made quickly, easily, and with certainty and generosity. ACCV articulated that Congress intended to compensate serious injuries. If there is a split in credible scientific evidence, ACCV members should tend toward recommending adding or retaining the proposed injury. Okay, so with what I just discussed in mind, let's turn now to walk through the history of this ILN review. The contract initiation process began in September 2008, and the ILN committee, eventually sitting 15 members of various expertise, convened. We gave the charge to the committee in April of 2009 for the independent review of the current epidemiological, clinical, and biologic literature with the contract deliverables consisting of the framework for categorizing the evidence of causality, description of the strength of evidence regarding biological mechanisms underlying theories when evidence is not enough for causal conclusions, and the development of a report on the evidence regarding AEs associated with various vaccines. This charge was originally given at the time with four vaccines for review, since that's all the funding we had available at that time. But supplemental funding, all within HHS, came through from our program in HRSA, the National Vaccine Program Office, and the Immunization Safety Office of CDC. So in September 2009, this allowed the addition of four more vaccines for ILN review. So the committee reviewed a total of eight vaccines, which constituted 12 of 16 vaccine antigen combinations found in 92% of the ICP claims. You can see these eight vaccines, which was reviewed on the next slide, slide eight, highlighted in red. The bulk of the vaccines charged to be reviewed came from the new vaccines added to the table and without an independent scientific review of adverse events. They are hepatitis B vaccine, varicella virus vaccine, hep A vaccine, trivalent flu vaccine, meningococcal vaccine, and the human papillomavirus vaccine. In addition, we asked for the review of tetanus-containing and MMR vaccines, which are older vaccines, to the table, but still alleged in a sizable proportion of current claims. What adverse events did we charge the ILM to review, and what was the process by which we generated the working list of AEs? The working list of AEs was generated by HRSA's Division of Vaccine Injury Compensation medical staff based on the alleged injury petitions to VICP and the current science. We also received input from CDC and FDA staff through the Health and Human Services Interagency Working Group. This draft working list was then shared with the public for the public's input through ACCV meetings and the ILM project website. Working list was first posted in December of 2009. In addition to a list of adverse events under each vaccine, we charged the committee with general considerations, which are relevant across different vaccines, including adverse events from vaccine administration. You just heard from the previous presenter regarding this, as well as anaphylaxis. The ILM committee did not take away any AEs from the working list, but did add 10 additional adverse events, which are listed in this slide. The final working list constituted a diverse array numbering 76 different adverse events, which resulted in 158 different adverse event vaccine combinations, including three adverse events in the general category of injection-related events. They used two types of evidence from the published literature: epidemiologic evidence from studies of populations and mechanistic evidence derived primarily from biological and clinical studies in animals and humans. For the weight of evidence, IOM used a summary classification scheme that incorporated both the quality and quantity of the individual studies and the consistency of the group of studies in terms of direction of effect. So for each vaccine AE relationship, recall that there are 158 pairs. The committee made three assessments. First, they assessed the weight of epidemiologic evidence, ranking the evidence into four levels. Next, they assessed the weight of mechanistic evidence, ranking that evidence into four levels. And finally, they took both the weight of the epi and the weight of the mechanistic evidence and gave the overall causality assessment from that vaccine AE pairing. Thus, at the end of this effort, each vaccine AE pair received one of the IOM's four categories of causation evidence: convincingly supports causal relationship, or favors acceptance, or inadequate to accept or reject, or favors rejection of causal relationship. So what was the result of this contract? The deliverable, which was a pre-publication final report, was released publicly on August 25th of 2011. Dr. Clayton, who was the committee's chair, briefed the advisory commission in September of 2011, and she also briefed the National Vaccine Advisory Committee in that same month. The link to the IOM website where the free PDF downloads are available is shown in this slide. It is important to underline that this committee made findings about vaccine adverse event combinations. They were not charged with, and they did not make any recommendations. The following several slides show the summary of IOM's causality findings. Under the category of convincingly supports causal relationship, the IOM found 14 pairs. There were four AEs under varicella vaccine consisting of disseminated OCA VZV disease without other organ involvement, disseminated OCA VZV disease with subsequent infection resulting in pneumonia, meningitis, or hepatitis, viral vaccine strain viral reactivation disease without other organ involvement and with subsequent infection resulting in meningitis or encephalitis, two under MMR vaccine consisting of measles inclusion body encephalitis and febrile seizures, six vaccines consisting of MMR, varicella, influenza, hep B, tetanus containing and meningococcal vaccines, all were found to have convincingly supports causal relationship to anaphylaxis. Lastly, two AEs under injection related, which is that there is a potential for harm in any needle administered vaccine, found to have convincingly supports causal relationship were syncope and deltoid bursitis. For the purposes of the program, with the guiding principles in mind, we have termed this adverse event more broadly into shoulder injury related to vaccine administration, or SIRVA, because we felt that it was just not bursitis, actually, but also the structures around the bursa that was affected. Okay, for the category of favors acceptance of causal relationship, the IOM committee found four vaccine adverse event pairs, HPV and anaphylaxis, MMR and transient arthralgia in female adults or children, and lastly, certain trivalent inactivated influenza vaccines used in Canada and oculorespiratory syndrome. For the inadequate to accept or reject category, the IOM committee described 135 vaccine adverse event pairs. So this was the majority of IOM conclusions of causality. These inadequate findings constitute 85% of all vaccine adverse event relationships that the committee reviewed, and include different vaccines and different demyelinating neurological diseases, the most common alleged injuries currently being claimed to be ICP. Under the favors rejection causal relationship, IOM found five adverse events and vaccine relationships, and they include MMR and type 1 diabetes, DTaP and type 1 diabetes, MMR and autism, trivalent influenza vaccine and asthma reactive airway disease, that's the inactivated, and trivalent inactivated influenza vaccine and Bell's palsy. So, with those findings by the IOM committee, what were the next steps? Recall that our ultimate goal is to update the injury table. So in September 2011, following the release of the report, we established the task force, the Vaccine Injury Table Update Task Force, consisting of medical members from the Immunization Safety Office, CDC, the Division of Vaccine Injury Compensation here in HRSA, and the attorneys from the Office of General Counsel, HHS. And we started with phase one, which was science-based only phase. Nine VIT update or V2 work groups were established, consisting of one work group for each vaccine and the ninth work group for injection-related events. These work groups digested and reviewed the IOM report. And since the final literature sweep for the ION findings were at the end of 2010, the V2 work groups were also charged with updating the literature for 2011 and reviewing on all vaccine adverse event combinations using a consistent approach. We used the pre-specified organizing phase one worksheets. Each of the 9 work groups visually reviewed and convened, and phase one was completed in November of 2011. The work groups recommended 21 vaccine adverse event combinations to move to phase two. So in addition to the 14 convincingly supports and the 4 favors acceptance, the work groups added a few from the IOM's inadequate to accept or reject category because the work groups wanted to explore these combinations further. So this slide 19 shows a listing of the 21 vaccine adverse event pairs which moved to phase two. Phase two is where the task force wanted to deliberate and propose recommendations to update the vaccine injury table based upon science and policy. Recall that in the beginning of this talk, I review with you how one gets compensated through the table and also the guiding principles of the ACCV. These are part of the policy implications which are now overlaid on top of the scientific findings from the IOM review and our task force's phase one review. Out of the 21 vaccine adverse event pairs, 9 phase two draft worksheets resulted, which recommended proposals for changes to updates to table. In the listing on the left, these 9 pairs are shown as salmon or deep pink colored cells on column 2. A 10th phase 2 worksheet was proposed to add wording for encephalitis to the table's qualifications and ACE interpretation. Again, all work group members, you know, worked very hard during the holiday season, no less, and completed phase 2 in January of 2012. Through the next several slides, we'll walk through each of IOM's causality conclusions and what is being proposed to the injury table revisions. Starting with the varicella vaccine, the 4 convincingly supports adverse events will be added to the table but collapsed into 2 events, 1 disseminated and 1 reactivation. For MMR vaccine, the measles inclusion body encephalitis is being added under the currently listed vaccine strain measles disease, while the adverse event of febrile seizures following MMR is not being proposed to be added since this adverse event by definition has no long-term sequelae. Recall that there is a residual effect requirement for table listing since Congress intended serious injuries with lasting effects to be given presumption of causation through the table. Continuing on slide 21, MMR and anaphylaxis is not being proposed to be added since it is already listed in the current table. Likewise, anaphylaxis is already listed under hepatitis B and tetanus containing, so no additions are proposed. However, anaphylaxis for varicella, influenza, and meningococcal are being proposed to be added to the table since they are not currently listed. We're also proposing some changes to the definition of anaphylaxis in the proposed qualification ACE interpretation to be in line with more recent literature and to simplify. Lastly, under the convincingly supports causality relationship category, we're proposing to add Delta bursitis as serva under each of the vaccines administered by needle, as well as syncope, also under each of the vaccines administered by needle as vasovagal syncope. For the vaccine adverse event pairs, which were found to be under the favors acceptance category by the IOM committee, we propose to add HPV and anaphylaxis, but not the other 3 findings. MMR and transient arthralgia, both in women and in children, are temporary events, and as discussed under MMR, febrile seizures does not meet the residual effects requirement for the table. And lastly, the influenza vaccine and ORS pair, those particular vaccines are not manufactured anymore. All 5 vaccine adverse event combinations found by the IOM committee to favor rejection of causal relationship are not currently listed on the table, so there's no need for removals or revisions. Lastly, I spoke earlier that the health task force from phase one wanted to discuss certain pairs from IOM's inadequate to accept or reject category. After much deliberations in phase two, the recommendations for table updates are now shown on this slide 4. For influenza vaccine, asthma, exacerbation, or febrile seizures, no table revision is being recommended because no residual effects in changing the trajectory of the disease. For hepatitis C and anaphylaxis, even mechanistic evidence of Hep A alone and anaphylaxis are not just simply not available at this time, and likewise with complex regional pain syndrome. We're proposing updates to the QAI for tetanus-containing vaccines from our review because we really need a definition for encephalitis in the QAI and to harmonize the QAI to go along with the table. And lastly, although much time was spent on discussing influenza and GBS, this is currently the vaccine adverse event pair with the most number of claims of VICP. We are deferring proposals for revisions to the table until publications of the peer-reviewed H1N1 active surveillance findings are made public because the H1 antigen is now part of the trivalent seasonal flu vaccine, which we cover under our program. Our proposed change to the table were discussed in February with the Immunization Safety Task Force chaired by Dr. Koh, the R-ASH, and we received their input. And earlier this month, the work group leads presented our proposal to the ACCD and received unanimous concurrence on all proposals. Currently, we're starting to work on writing the notice of proposed rulemaking publication, and our goal with public input and HHS clearance is to publish the NPR on first, then have that 6-month public comment period, followed by comments and clearance, finally for the final rule to update the table. I want to take a few minutes to acknowledge all the members of the V2 Task Force, from our HRSA medical officers to our OGC attorneys to the ISO colleagues. In particular, I want to thank my counterpart in CDC, Dr. Shima Bukuru, and our admin support, Scott Beach, for a great collaborative effort. And we look forward to getting this goal accomplished. Thank you very much.